Good morning and welcome to Ainsdale Evangelical Sunday Service. We'd like to start off with some scripture.
This morning's scripture is Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Amen. And our first song is All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Thank you.
holy, Lord God Almighty.
Thank you. 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he could not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Let's just leave it there. Short passage, but we'll refer to some other scriptures. The question is, what is faith and how much do we need it? Well, verse 6 puts it in a nutshell, doesn't it? It's impossible to please God without faith. Well, this is necessary, of course, when we come into an experience of Jesus, but it's necessary now. It's more than ever necessary now. We need to believe and know that God's word is absolutely true, and we need to feel that in our hearts and be encouraged by it ourselves so that we can do whatever God wants us to do. If it's not burning and alive in us, how can it be shared? How can it be communicated? So without faith, well, what is faith? Well, we've got a it's the only definition, I think, in Scripture, in verse 1. It says, faith is the substance or confidence, we might read, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition, basically, as far as I can see, the only one in Scripture, what the definition of faith is. Lots of practical illustrations of it, and we'll look at some a little later on. But faith is the confidence we have in the substance of things hoped for. Now, hope in the Scripture is positive. It's not a vague kind of hope. It's based on fact. And it's the evidence of things which cannot be seen, which is interesting, isn't it? The Bible's full of miracles, absolutely full. It's a supernatural book. Well, we know that to come into an experience of Jesus Christ and to be saved, you need faith. Most people know that. And I remember years ago when we used to do a lot of evangelism and we went around the estate, and I think Linda and two others went on a training course, or I've forgotten where it was now, and there were various examples of given what faith is. And I remember the story about the Niagara Falls, and there was this guy, I don't know his name, there was a tightrope across Niagara Falls, and he walked across it and walked back. And then he said, I'll go across with a wheelbarrow. So he took a wheelbarrow across and walked back. And then to the crowd, he said, do you think I can do it again? They all said, yes. He said, well, who'll get in a wheelbarrow? Now, you see, faith is total commitment. It's taking a risk. It's total commitment. It's head knowledge, but it needs to go beyond head knowledge. We can't get to heaven with just head knowledge. This word believe in our vocabulary has been watered down, like many other words, from what it originally was. It means total commitment, otherwise you don't believe it, you're just saying it. We can all say things, and you know, it's like you chat to people off the cuff and they say all sorts of things, but put them in a different venue and they wouldn't say it. That qualify what they were saying, or they wouldn't say it at all, because it's just a conversation. It's not really believed. And we can so-called have a habit which looks like belief, but it's just a habit. It's not real belief which changes us. And of course the gospel is something that comes in to change us and to prepare us for glory, as we've already said this morning. So without this faith in him, it's impossible to please him. That's what the Bible clearly says. We used to talk to people on the street and they'd say, "I believe." Well, some of them had just come out of the local church having communion. And then you say, "Well, what do you mean by believe?" And then they give you an example. I prayed for this, I prayed for that, I prayed for the other. And it's all about the things that happened around them. We used to call that temporal knowledge. It's praying for things in the family. Nothing wrong with that. But not prayer for salvation. Not prayer for the forgiveness of sins. Not prayer for repentance. Not prayer for this unique experience of being born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Not that at all. So we can do that, but that isn't really faith. Because faith depends on what God is doing and what God is saying. It doesn't depend on me. But I do have to respond to him. And I do have to believe. And I do have to look to him continually. So faith is absolutely essential to get into heaven. And it's never mystical, it's never vague, it's never blind, it's based on truth. And we have to know the scriptural truth before we can have a real faith in Jesus. Now, some people need a lot of truth, other people don't need much. But all our life experiences are focusing. God is so loves us. He said, "I don't want anybody to perish. I want all to come to repentance." And when we talk to people, we need to believe that. They don't see it. But we know it because the scripture says it. They need to come to repentance. So life experiences for everybody leading up to that point. And if it's rejected, well, it's rejected. But that is what God is actually doing, working in every single one of us. And every one of us who were saved can remember things in our lives before we were saved. And we can see the pointers that were there. We never saw them before. But once we cross the threshold and we get into eternity and eternal life and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes in our heart, then we can see what God has been working on. And he's still doing it. If we're not where he wants us to be right now, he's still doing it. Because it says God works all things together for good to those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. So nothing is missing, nothing is left out. The things that we don't like, that go wrong and that cause us a hassle and cause trouble, not a problem to God. He might well be orchestrating it because there's something we have to respond by faith. Everything that God does and says, we have to believe. It's an incredible thing. It's an incredible truth. The power in faith, when we really believe, to unlock the doors is absolutely amazing. And there are many and many evidences in scripture of this. So, and really, when you look around the church you see all these different opinions and views all across the country, and you see all these denominations, and you think, why is it like that? Well, there's all sorts of, really, essentially, it's to what proportion of the Bible do you believe, really? If you don't believe it all, well, you end up all over the place. But it's a bit more than that, in a sense. Is it Timothy who says, well, there's plenty of religion, but there's no power with it? What we need is the power of the gospel, and the power of the gospel only comes by faith and in the Holy Spirit. That's absolutely what is required. So it's the power. I just looked at this hymn I was singing this morning with the doors shut. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If the blood of Jesus isn't applied, no sin is cleansed. You can have all the religion you want, but it's no good. It's the blood of Christ. What's the other thing other song we used to sing? There's power in the blood. Do we know there's power in the blood? Well, if we're saved, we've got some experience of it, but do we know it now? Is there still power in the blood? What are you worried about? What are you concerned about? Get out and stop it and praise God and love him. And stop looking behind you and stop looking at other people and go straight for him, come what may. And there's a risk. But if you're going to please God, you've got to move by faith and you've got to do it. There's no alternative. There's no other way to do it. So, faith, absolutely massive thing. believers continue in faith. I've been very pleased, actually, the last few weeks. When I flick on YouTube and I'm watching on the... There's all these screens come up, those of you who do it. And if you put a topic in, other things come up. And I remember Aaron telling me a while ago about Joe Kirby. Anyway, I forgot. I thought, that looks an interesting DVD. It's only 10 minutes. And it was him. He's got about half a million views or something. He's been all around the world. It's brilliant stuff. And they're never long. 10, 12 minutes. It's really good stuff. I'd encourage you. He comes from Wigan, doesn't he? He's spoken with us a few times. And he was with Vinnie. And then I think he went somewhere else. And he lives in Preston now. But it's absolutely great stuff. It's really encouraging to listen to him, to see what he's saying and what his experience is in. There's pictures of him at Hyde Park Corner and in America and all over the place. So it's amazing. A little lap from Wigan, look what God's doing. It's amazing what God can do by faith, by faith. So that's what we have to do. And, of course, revelation always comes from the Lord. I was looking at Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Matthew 17, just look at that for a little while, 14 to about 20. It says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.'" Well, how do you know to do that? Well, it's an illustration of what praying for something is. Unless we're praying in the Holy Spirit, we're not praying. It's the Spirit leads us to pray it, and if the Spirit leads us to pray, then He will answer it. So often we sit down with a list of things to pray for, and we go through the list, and I have a great problem with, you know, on my desk I've got about 8 or 10 missionary societies, and I get reams of prayer lists. Pray, this is what you do on Tuesday, Wednesday, and if I do, I've done nothing else. I find it difficult when people do that. Now, if the Lord won't highlight something to me, that's what I have to pray for. Of course, there are people around us and our families and all this. It's always before our mind. But if the Spirit highlights something to you, that is what we're praying for. It's all by faith in Him and the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and lives, which prompts us and motivates us to pray. And when He does that, He will answer. If He's not doing that, well, don't pray that way. It's what you want, not what He wants. But we need faith. We need faith to know that that's what He's doing. So faith is an incredible thing. But looking at this text, the first three verses are tremendous, aren't they? We've read verse 1. It says, "For by this faith the elders obtained a good testimony." It proved it in their lives. They didn't give up. They didn't stop. They didn't pull back. They went forward. Whatever difficulties they were, they met them. They went forward. So they obtained a good report as far as the writer to the Hebrews is concerned. Probably Paul, but we're not certain about that. And then it says this, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Well, they knew that. Back in the days of Genesis 2 and 3, they knew that. And probably before that, if you read Isaiah 14 and Matthew and what is it, Ezekiel 28 and a few other scriptures, they knew all of that. They knew all of that. But we know more now, don't we? We know how things exist. In fact, the scientists are spending all their time how to get into the other world that we can't see, because we only have four dimensions, length, breadth, height and time. They want to get behind it. There's talk in the press about opening portals to the underworld, to the spirit world. That's what they're looking at. And all the occultic prayers all around the world, praying that they'll have an entrance into that. That's what the world is focused on. That's what the satanic opposition we're against is now. It's spiritual, but we have an understanding scientifically. We have a clue what an atom is. We have a clue what a quark is. It's a part of an atom. What an electron is. They never knew that in the past. But Greek knowledge, of course, was amazing. You find an evidence of that in Peter. They know about stoichiometry. But we know that it's things not seen. There are another, eight dimensions that we don't know anything about. One day we will. We'll know it all. And as Greg said this morning, Jesus left it and came down and lived as a man with his dimensions, length, breadth, height and time, but communication with the Father through the Spirit. Wonderful. The ministry and love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the Saviour we're talking to. That's the God we're talking to. And if you look back at Hebrews 1, where's Hebrews 1 gone? You know, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the past to our fathers by the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us by a Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself paid our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty of high. So everything holds together by the word of Jesus Christ. Absolutely everything. When he says, stop it, everything will disintegrate. That is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely total power. Do we believe in a God like that? For what we're doing today, what you're going to do tomorrow, how you're going to run your life? That's who God is. That's who God is. And in verse 6, the best definition of faith I came across was in the Amplified Version. It says, it's trust, adhere to and rely on. And we need to be diligent in doing that. If you look at Proverbs 2 for a minute, Proverbs 2. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Are we in that place today? Are there things we don't understand? Are there things we're grappling with? Well, we need to believe that God will answer it. But it doesn't always come easy, does it? If you search for it like silver, diligently with all your heart, what are you giving your time to? You know, isn't it easy? Isn't it cushy? Yet, to live in a nice, centrally heated house, watching what you want to do, reading what you want to do, doing what you want to do, and not grappling with these things. I mean, the Psalms are full of it. When I look at the unbeliever and see how he's prospering and look at me, Habakkuk says the same. And then he said, I looked up to God, and God is a God of judgment, and I saw their end, and I saw my end. We need to get our focus right and stop messing about. That's really what the message is. So there's so many things in the scripture. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And as we think about this, I'm looking at the time. I'm not used to preaching so short a time, so somebody will have to pull me up about it. Well, so the question is, what do we need faith for today? Well, we need faith to continue in our buoyancy, in our health, in our welfare. We need faith to keep our spirits up as believers. We need faith to continue to read the scriptures. We need faith to believe them in the teeth of opposition. And what we've seen yet is hardly anything. The virus is inconvenient. The next thing will be the vaccine. Will you take it? And then it'll be something else. And then it'll be something else. And at what stage the rapture's coming, I do not know. But all I need to know at this time is, he is coming, and I need to focus my attention on him. And to do that, I need faith. So we need faith for daily life. Now, we've got three examples here. It talks about Abel had a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, we know that Cain ended up murdering his brother. But that was because Cain had offered a miserable sacrifice. I remember years ago, one Christmas, when we lived in Wigan, I'd forgotten to get Judy's Christmas card. And I was coming home from work. I came to this little shop in Wigan. It looked as though it had been there for about 100 years. And he had a 20-watt bulb in the thing. You could hardly see in the shop. I thought, that card looks nice. I picked it up, stuck it in the envelope, and gave it to her when I got back. And when it in daylight, it was yellow with age. This guy must have had it in there for I don't know how many decades. That was the sort of thing that Cain offered to God. It wasn't a sacrifice from his heart, but Abel offered the best of his flock. And in addition to that, that was the shedding of blood. That's a picture of the cross as well. So we find that Abel is mentioned here, in which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And then the next one is Enoch in verse 5. It said Enoch was taken away so that he didn't see death. Enoch was raptured because he pleased God. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? There isn't much in the scripture. It's a very short passage in Genesis. And of course, it's referred to in Jude. It refers to the fact that we come back with Jesus on his return. He does all that. And of course, there is a book of Enoch, which has information in, not biblical, it's not canonical, but the New Testament writers and the authors of the scripture were aware of what was written in there. But Enoch was a guy that was just taken away. They couldn't find him anywhere. And of course, there are other examples in scripture. And our hope, of course, is the rapture. That's scriptural. And in verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness according to faith. So how did he condemn the world? Because he was doing what God wanted. Are we condemning the world? Or do we just mingle in? And nobody knows any different. Oh, we might have said we go to church. Oh, we might have said a word in season here and there. But do people know that by our words and by our conduct and by our lifestyle, how wealthy we are, how rich we are, what we do with it, how do we spend our time, how do we care? Do people know we're condemning the world? That's a challenge, isn't it? Big challenge. I'm not sure I fully bottomed that out myself. A big challenge. But how do we know we're condemning the world? And look at Noah, 120 years he preached, building a boat in the middle of the desert, and rain had never fallen. Nobody knew what rain was. What's this idiot doing? Building a boat. You know, there's no water there. You can imagine all the aggro and all the mockery and all the insults for 120 years. I have a trouble with my 80 years, well, subtract when I wasn't saved, 120 years on that project. But why is he doing it? Because God told him to do it. And he had faith and he believed God. And they did it. And after 120 years, it was proved true, wasn't it? And the rains did come. The floods did come. And he was saved. The principle is the same for you and for me. The principle is exactly the same. Just three examples that we've quoted there. But it says in the scripture that the joy of the Lord is our strength in Nehemiah 7. And in Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is he a liar? Or is he telling the truth? Well, the Spirit's put it in the Word of God. He's telling the truth. Could you write that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In me and myself, I can't. But when I know him by faith, am I walking in faith? Do I know it in my experience? By faith, do I know it? Do I know it? That's a question for us. And then in Philemon, a little further on, where is it? I can't find it now. In just a couple of verses, it's interesting, verse 7 and verse 20. It says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And in verse 20, it says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Well, this is a ministry that we've all got. It's encouragement and refreshment. Well, are you moving by faith? If you're not, you won't encourage somebody else. You'll discourage them. I don't like this. I don't believe in that. Are we encouragers or are we discouragers? We probably don't set out to be discouragers, but it's just how we feel. So you've got to feel right. You've got to walk by faith. This is a lovely little letter that was written because from Paul to a slave owner. And one of his slaves has got saved. He said, will you treat him well? Needs encouragement. He's encouraged me. By faith. And in these days, we need to be encouragers. As Philemon points out. And of course, sickness. And when we get older, there's always things, isn't there? Ferdy rang up and apologised. He's not feeling well this morning. We do feel that. Well, God works all things together for good to those who love him. They're called according to his purpose. And he will never leave us and forsake us. We need faith when we're sick. And it's harder, isn't it? We probably need somebody else to pray with us when we don't feel like it. We need somebody else to help us. And we need to be a witness, as we said to our family, Matthew 28, clear how we witness to people. And then if we look at 1 Thessalonians 5, our encouragement, are we encouraging each other to look for the rapture? Now you've got to get your head around that. If you're not living a life and walking by faith in Jesus, it's going to be more difficult because you're hanging on to something. And there's nothing more I can... That's exactly how it is. We need to encourage with each other with the fact that Jesus Christ is going to take us to glory at some stage, and that is our hope. That's what it clearly says. It's a command. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, encourage each other with these words. As Amir Safati says, if you believe in a post-trib rapture and the heads are rolling down the aisle, how do you encourage each other? Well, that's what he says. So what we're saying is it's impossible to please God at any stage of our lives without faith. But he is faithful, and he will never let us down, and he will glorify his name through our witness, through the glory that he gives to us by his precious Holy Spirit. So we praise him, we thank him, And above all things, we say, thank you, Lord, for our faith in Jesus Christ.
And our last song is More and More About Jesus.